The following audio is from Solid Rock Community Church. More information about Solid Rock Community Church is available at www.solidrockcommunitychurch.com.
We're continuing in our series that we began, maybe 9, 10, 11 weeks ago, through the book of Philippians. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, and I'm just going to tell you this up front, I want us to look this morning at what Paul has to say, because this is so important, about succeeding in life. You know, I went to Amazon.com this past week, and I typed in the words success, and it's really amazing because when I type that word in, literally hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands, of books came up that were related to the subject of success. I mean, I guess it's like if you want to make a lot of money, just write a book, you know, on success, because it seems like there's so many out there. There just seems to be this voracious appetite in our society and in our culture to just want to consume books on the subject of success. And I think sometimes people are thinking, man, I'm hoping that the latest book here will help me, you know, solve all my problems and maybe help me to somehow be fulfilled, in life. But here's what's also interesting. So many of the books that are written on the subject of success are actually written by people who have no track record. I mean, they have no real real experience, you know, in the world. They just wrote a book on that subject. Here's a lot of theories. Now, I don't know about you, but when I want to learn something about success, I want somebody who's done it. I want to look at somebody who's got a track record, somebody who's actually accomplished what it is that I'm, you know, attempting to accomplish. Because isn't it true we learn way more about success or about life from models than we do books and manuals? Isn't that true? Certainly, we learn a lot more. And who's our model? Come on, who's our model? Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is definitely our model. There's no question about that. But next to Jesus, I would argue that the Apostle Paul is probably the most successful Christian that ever lived. And I just think Paul was an incredible man. He lived his life to the fullest. Paul is someone who made his life count. And in Philippians chapter 3 that we're going to be in this morning, remember last week we looked at the first 11 verses, and that was Paul's past. Well, today in the few verses that we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at Paul's present, and we're going to look at Paul's future. And from this passage, we're going to be able to see the pattern for successful living. In fact, Paul even encourages us to follow his example. Notice what he says in verse 17. He says, "Join with others in following my example. And take note of those who live according to the pattern," that's where this title came from, "the pattern that we gave you." In other words, Paul says, look, I want you to follow my example. I want you to follow my model. And of course, the question is, well, what is that? What is Paul's model? What is the pattern that Paul is talking about? And fortunately for us, in this passage of Scripture that we're going to look at for a few moments, Paul briefly explains the four keys to succeeding in life, the four things that are the pattern of Paul's life. They're very simple, but I think they're very profound as well. And Paul shows us how to make your life count. So here's the first thing Paul would say. If I want to be successful in life, the first thing I've got to be willing to do is to face my faults. That's the first step. And this is what I call the step of evaluation. This is where you actually acknowledge and you admit, I don't have it all together. I still have a long way to go to grow. I admit that I haven't arrived. I admit to the fact that I'm not perfect. There's still more to learn. There's still more things that I need, you know, to discover. That's the first step. And let me tell you why this is so important. Because if you don't know where you are, you have to know where you are before you can know where you want to go. You have to discover that. And Paul's like, hey, I'm honest about my faults. Watch this. Look at verses 12 and 13. Here's what Paul says. Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And then let me read this verse to you out of the Good News Translation. It says this. I don't claim that I've already succeeded or become perfect. Now, to me, this is the Apostle Paul. That's an amazing, amazing statement, because Paul, as we've talked about over the last several weeks, Paul is an older man right now. Paul's had a lot of experience and lived his life, and if anybody had the right to claim that they had arrived, then it would be the Apostle Paul. Because this is the guy who wrote over half of the New Testament that we read, you know, right here, that's in our Bible. This is the guy who single-handedly spread, almost by himself, Christianity throughout the Roman Empire, establishing churches, raising up, you know, all these incredible leaders and these churches. I mean, Paul made an incredible, incredible impact on the world, and yet Paul, at the end of his life, he says, you know what? I don't have it all together. I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. There's actually still some things that I need to learn. There's some areas that I need to grow in. And here's the point that I want you to hear this morning. And that's that successful people never stop growing. They're always developing. They're always growing. They're always expanding. They're always learning. They recognize that there's a ways to go. And so here's Paul, even when he's an older man, in prison, writing this letter to the Philippians. He doesn't know if he's going to live. He doesn't know if he's going to die. He doesn't know. And yet he says, you know, I just want you to know, I haven't arrived yet. There's still a lot for me to learn. Now, that is so contrary to so many people that you see today. I mean, have you ever met those kinds of Christians that give you the impression that they never have any problems? You ever run into those kinds of Christians? They give you the impression that they have arrived, that they're sort of like sinless perfection. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, problems? I don't have any problems. Doubts? I don't have any doubts. In fact, it's been like 35 years since I've even been tempted. Problems? Are you kidding me? My kids? My kids are perfect. Oh, my kids, they never swear, they never lie, they never argue, they never talk back. They don't do anything. They're perfect. My kids are great. And they give you the impression that somehow they've arrived. Now, I'll just be honest with you. When I, you know, those kinds of people, when I'm around them, I get indigestion. It's like, you know, it's like, seriously? Really? Like they've arrived. And here the great Apostle Paul says, you know what? I haven't made it yet. I haven't arrived. There are still some things that I need to learn. Now, I'll just tell you, I've been a follower of Jesus. I dedicated my life to the Lord at a very young age. I've been a Christian. I've been a follower of Jesus for over, you know, almost 50 years. And here's what I've discovered about me. I've discovered that as I grow as a follower of Jesus, as I grow as a Christian, I become more and more aware of my own inadequacies, my own limitations, my own weaknesses, my faults, things that I need to change in my life, things that I like, oh man, I wish I could lead, you know, better. I wish I could, you know, lots of areas in my life. Rather than going, hey, look how far I've come, I'm like, hey, look how far I've got to go. And I'm so aware of that the more I follow Jesus. And Paul teaches us here this morning that the starting point for successful living is you have to, at some point, you have to start with facing your faults, to be honest, to do an evaluation of your life. In fact, listen to the wisdom of Solomon, probably the wisest man who ever lived outside of Jesus. Here's what he said in Proverbs. He said, you will never, what's the word? What's the word? Solomon, who was given unbelievable wisdom, he writes in the book of Proverbs, and he says, you know what? I just want you to know, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. But if you confess them, you know, and give them up, then God will show you mercy. So what's he really saying? You know, what is Solomon saying? He's saying that successful people, they're honest about their faults. They're honest about their faults. Transparency is a mark of emotional maturity. And he says, successful people, they admit it. You know what? I haven't arrived yet. I'm not there yet. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And I think the reason that a lot of people are afraid to admit their weaknesses or to admit that, you know, they might have some faults or whatever, I think it's because they're more interested in having a reputation than they are in being successful. And see, sometimes you have to choose between the two. Do I want to look good or do I want to be good? Sometimes you have to choose, but you start with this principle of evaluation, facing your faults. And so the question I want to ask you this morning as we kind of launch into this, here's the question I want to ask you. Where do you need to change? Where do you need to change? You take a personal inventory. Now, isn't it typical that we're good at inventorying other people? Isn't that true? I can see where other people need to change. But it's hard to see it in the mirror. It's hard to see it in ourselves when we look into the mirror. You know, let me tell you where my wife needs to change. You know, let me tell you where my husband needs to change. Let me tell you where my children need to change. Let me tell you where my friends need to change. But what about you? What about me? You start with a personal evaluation and you face your faults. Here's the second thing Paul says. If you want to be a success, then you need to forget the former. You need to forget the former. And this is so important. It's what I call the principle of elimination. In other words, Paul is saying, you need to let go of the past. You need to stop being manipulated by your memories. In fact, look what he says in verse 13. This one thing I do, forgetting what is, what does he say? What does he say? What is behind. Paul says, you know what? If I'm really going to become everything that God's created me to be, if I'm really going to become everything that God wants me to be, then I'm not going to spend any more time on yesterday because it's gone. It's over. It's past. My past is my past. You know what I think Paul is saying here in the scripture? You know, forgetting those things which are behind. We know that he's not talking about everything. We know that because in the Old Testament, God oftentimes would tell his people, hey, I want you to remember my faithfulness to you. I want you to remember my past faithfulness to the patriarchs. I want you to remember the past faithfulness of the patriarchs to me. In fact, sometimes God would instruct them because God would do something really great and mighty, and he would actually instruct them to erect altars of remembrance. So we know he's not saying forget everything. You know what I think he's saying? I think Paul is saying, I want to forget anything behind me. Paul says, I want to forget anything behind me that might rob me of my pursuit of Jesus. Now, I want that to sink in for just a moment. I want to forget anything behind me that might rob me of my pursuit of Jesus. Anything, no matter what it is. I'm going to let go of my guilt. I'm going to let go of my grief. I'm going to let go of my grudges. I'm going to let go of my unforgiveness. I'm going to let go of anything that might rob me of my pursuit of Jesus. In other words, I let go of the past so that I can get on with the present. I face my faults, but I also forget the former because here's a key thing. Success involves learning to forget. I love what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, says the Lord. There it is right there in the Bible. Forget the former. Forget the former things. Face your faults. Forget the former. You say, wait a minute. Dave, you know, that all sounds really great, but how do you do that? I mean, isn't it true that our brain stores, you know, everything that we've ever done in life? Isn't that true? Yeah. Well, isn't it true that, you know, we never ever really forget anything? Isn't that true? That is true. Well, then, what do you mean, forget the former? Do I just get amnesia or something? I mean, is that how it happens? What's he really saying when he says, you know, forget the former, when he says to forget? Let me tell you what forget means, okay? This will help some of you. To forget actually means to not let the past affect you anymore. To not let the past control you. To not let the past have power over you and manipulate you. See, successful people learn from the past. They just don't dwell on it. They learn from the past, but they don't spend time dwelling on it. And there's a big difference. Successful people learn from the past, and once they learn, they let it go. They just release it. They don't keep on hounding themselves about their mistakes in the past. The problem is it's human nature to do that. And isn't it true? Unfortunately, we tend to remember the things we should forget, and we tend to forget the things that we should remember. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? We tend to remember all of the junk and you know, garbage memories and mistakes and all of the things that we've done in our past. And we hang on to those, and we forget to remember the lessons that we've learned through what we've gone through. And it's human nature to do that, to just hang on to that. And if we're going to follow Paul's pattern, he says, look, you've got to forget a couple of things. And I just want to give you two things that you need to forget to get on to be successful. Number one, you need to forget your failures, which is hard to do. It breaks my heart that so many Christians are continuing to rehearse things in their heart and rehearse things in their life that God has long since forgiven and forgotten, but they can't let go of it, and they're just holding on to it. And it impacts their current walk, and it impacts their pursuit of Jesus, and it impacts them in ways that they don't even understand. It filters through their conversation. It filters through their behavior, and they're just hanging on to the past. And I'm telling you, one of Satan's favorite ploys, one of his favorite desires is to paralyze us with our past and to manipulate us by our memories. And Paul says, you know what? I've learned to forget the past. I'm not going to sit around beating myself up and berating myself and going, well, if only, if I hadn't done this or I haven't done. I'm not going to sit around filling myself with self-condemnation for all of my mistakes. Listen, I just want to tell you, every single one of us in this room this morning, we're all broken. We're all in need of a Savior. We all need Jesus. None of us have arrived. None of us are walking in perfection, right? Everybody in this room, I promise you, has blown it at some level. I mean, come on. Isn't it true that if you could go back in time, if you could just step back in history somehow and change something, wouldn't you change it? How many of you would change some things? Yeah, everybody in this room, all of us, every single one of us, we all have some regrets. And I'm sure Paul, I mean, think about the great Apostle Paul. Think about his past. I mean, of all people, Paul probably had many regrets that haunted him. I mean, think about Paul. Before Paul became a follower of Jesus, he persecuted the church. Before Paul became a follower of Jesus, he hounded believers, harassed believers, going into their homes and ripping them out of their homes and taking them and carting them off to prison. Before Paul became a follower of Jesus, he stood and held the coats of the men who killed Stephen, the first martyr of the church. I mean, Paul had a lot of things that he could have looked back in his past and went, oh, and he could have dwelled on that. Look what I did. And I did that. I mean, he could have done all of that. And Paul's like, no. I'm not going to do that. Paul had many things that he could have been hounded by and, you know, haunted by. But he said, you know what? I forget those things. I don't want anything behind me to rob me of my pursuit of Jesus. And so I'm going to face my faults, but I'm also going to forget the former, so I can get on with my life. Because the fact is, there's nothing you can do about your past. Nothing. It's over. It's done. You can't change it. No amount of tears, no amount of regret, no amount of self-pity. There's nothing that you can do to change your past. It's over. It's done with. Except learn from it and go on. And Paul's like, you know what? I've learned to let go and forget the past. And I can either, you know, continue to rehearse it, which affects my current day pursuit of Jesus, or I can let it go. The second thing you need to forget is your successes. It's like, oh, I got to forget that too? I mean, I got to forget all those, you know, successes in my life? Well, why do I need to forget those? I mean, you can learn from them, but you need to let those go as well. And here's why. Because it's so easy to rest on your laurels and to live in the past and to base your security on your past performance. and to think, you know what? I've arrived. I've got it made. I don't need to learn anything. I'm there. Look what I did. Look how successful I was. Did you ever meet people walking around, you know, talking about the good old days? Oh, man, I remember. Can I just tell you something? The good old days are over. They're gone. You need to let them go. They're gone. The good old days are the good old days. They're gone. You need to let them go. See, the only problem with success is that it tends to make you complacent. And then when you get complacent, you get filled with pride. And then you stop growing. And then you stop learning. And then you're going to fail. So you need to let go of your successes. Let go of your failures. Let go of your successes. Forgetting the things that are behind. In fact, listen to the words of Jesus. This is out of Luke, who was a follower, a physician who became a follower of Jesus. Here's what he said. Jesus said, anyone who starts to plow and keeps looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. It's like, wow, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, look, as my follower, if you're going to be my follower, I need your undivided attention. I need you locked in and zeroed in on in your pursuit of me. You can't drive your car always looking in the dry, you know, in the rearview mirror. What's going to happen if you do that? What's going to happen? You're going to crash. When you're in a race, you're not always looking over your shoulder. You know, you're running. You know, you can't be looking backwards. You got to let go. So here's my question I want to ask you this morning. What memory do you need to let go of? What memory do you need to let go of? What is it that's continuing to haunt you? What person in your past is still causing you a lot of pain? Paul says, face your faults, forget the former. And then he says, if you want to be a success, you got to focus on the future. And that's the principle of concentration. Because if all you do is forget, I mean, you know, if that's, you know, that's all you do, I mean, you know, maybe that's amnesia, I don't know. He's saying, that doesn't make you successful. He says, successful people focus on the future. In fact, notice what Paul says in verse 3. He says, but this one thing I do, straining toward what is ahead. I press toward the goal. Successful people are goal-oriented. That's what Paul's saying. And Paul has one single priority. And in the Greek, the word one, it's just the word one as he's writing this, but it's with an exclamation mark right next to it. It's the word one, exclamation point. Paul says, this one thing I do, not 20 other things, not 40 other things that I dabble in, not that. He said, this one thing that I do. Have you ever seen on television or maybe at a fair somewhere, you ever seen these guys, he's got all these poles and he's got this one plate on the pole and he's spinning that pole around and he gets that pole going and then he grabs another plate, he goes and grabs another plate and he puts another one on this pole and he gets that one going and then he goes and he grabs another one and he gets that and he puts that on that and gets that going and he gets up to about 10 and he's got like 10 plates going and then the first one starts to kind of wobble a little bit and he runs back over there and he gets that one going. And then another one starts wobbling, and he gets that one going. You ever seen that? I thought, what a parable of life for so many people. I'm coming, and I'm going. Okay, I got this going on now. Okay, I'm carpooling over here, and then I've got this activity over here, and then I've got to take them to this game over here, and then I've got to take them to this game over here, and then I got to get dinner, and then I got and they're just going crazy. They're just going. And Paul says, look, you want to be successful? He says, this one thing I do. In other words, find out what counts. And Paul's talking about the power of concentration. For instance, if you were to take a river and you were to let that river spill over into its banks and just go anywhere that it wants to go, it turns into a swamp. It turns into a marsh. But if you take that same river and you put it between, you know, certain banks, And you channel that and you are able to, you know, dam up that power and it becomes a tremendous source of power. I mean, it's amazing. And that's the power of concentration. That's the power of focusing on one thing at a time. I mean, if you want to be an outstanding doctor, Chelsea's going to be an outstanding doctor. Pastor George's wife. She's going to be an outstanding doctor. And if you were to talk to her, she would tell you that to do that, you have to specialize in a certain field. Because that's what professionals do. Because you can't know everything, and you can't do everything, and you can't be everything. You have to specialize. And so Paul says, I face my faults, I forget the former, but I also, you know, I don't want anything to rob me in my pursuit of Jesus. And I not only do that, but I focus on the future. This one thing I do. I'm in a race. The challenge is that people are trying to run a race, but they're not really sure how to run the race. In fact, here's what Paul said in Corinthians. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Listen to what he says. So run in such a way as to win the prize. So Paul says, look, there's a certain way of running. You can't just run this Christian life any way you want. There's a certain way of running. And he says, you got to run it like the professionals do. He says, have you ever watched the Olympics? One of my favorite parts of the Olympics is watching the runners run. You know what they do? If you watch them, they get to the starting block. And when once they get to the starting block, they totally ignore the grandstands. They totally ignore the competition. And the only thing that they're focused on is the goal at the end of that, you know, 100 meters or whatever it might be. That's all they focus on. They couldn't care less about what other people thought. They couldn't care less about the competition or who's behind them or who's beside them. And they certainly didn't look over their shoulders, you know, during the middle of the race, like so many people are prone to do. You know, how am I doing? Is anybody catching up with me yet? Is anybody, you know, like we're prone to do. No, that person's focused. He's focused. She's focused. That's how you run in such a way to win. You have got to eliminate those things from your past that are just paralyzing you from focusing on the future. So you eliminate those things from your past. Focus on the future. You know exactly what you want. Paul said, I focus on my goal. And what's his goal? Here's his goal. He tells us, 2 Corinthians. He said, so we made it our goal to please him. That's Paul's life goal. He said, you know what? All I want to do is I just want to please God. I just want to please him. There's no more rewarding goal in life than pleasing Jesus. Giving your life in full surrender to him. That was his goal, is to surrender to Jesus. Paul wanted to be able to stand at the end of his life, when his life was over, and hear Jesus say to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Come into my joy. So can I ask you a question this morning? What are you living for? What are you living for? What's your goal in life? What's your goal in life? What's most important to you? What's your focus? What are you zeroed in on? See, if you don't know where you're going, nobody else does. Focus on the future. You face your faults, you forget the former, you focus on the future. And then Paul would say this last thing here. He says, here's the pattern to succeed. He says, fight to the finish. He's talking about persistence. It's the principle of determination. Absolutely nothing worthwhile in life is ever accomplished or happens without effort. And you've heard me say this many times before, that great people in life are just ordinary people with extraordinary amounts of determination. They just don't know how to quit. You can't make them quit. They just keep on keeping on. They never give up. And that's what Paul's saying here. In fact, look at the terms that he uses in these verses. He says, I press on, straining toward the mark. And then he repeats it again. He says, I press on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I mean, you can just feel the intensity of Paul. You can just sense the determination of Paul. He's saying, I press on. In fact, if you were to look up that phrase, press on, in the Greek, it literally means, and this is what Paul is saying in terms of his pursuit of the goal and his pursuit of Jesus. He says, it actually means I overextend myself. In other words, I go for it with everything I've got. He says, I throw myself into straining with every ounce of strength and muscle and everything that I have to reach the prize. I mean, Paul's like this man of intensity, you know, just maximum effort. He says, I'm straining every muscle. I'm giving this everything I've got. See, that's the way to live, right? As a follower of Jesus. You know, Vince Lombardi put a sign over his locker room and it said this. It said, absolutely no one may enter this room except those men who are totally committed to the winning of the Green Bay Packers championship. It's too bad they got to go through Seattle first, but he said, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. He says, absolutely no one may enter except those men who are totally committed to the winning of the Green Bay Packers championship. Now, for all you guys who are, you know, football buffs, you understand that they were a great football team. They got a great history, a great legacy. I think they won the first two Super Bowls. The first ever one, for sure. The Green Bay Packers. That's the power of determination. That's the power of commitment and discipline and saying, you know what? I'm going to go for it with all my life. I'm going to go for it with everything I've got. And when I read a statement like that, I just think to myself, imagine what would happen if followers of Jesus had that much determination regarding their spiritual growth. Imagine how that would change their lives. If they would put as much energy into growing as they do, say, into, you know, making money or their favorite sport, imagine how that would change their life. And imagine how it would impact our church. With a church full of people with that kind of determination. Here's what Paul said, and here's what Luke wrote in Acts, and this is describing Paul's life. These are Paul's words written by Luke. He says, I reckon my own life to be worth nothing to me in order that I may complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, which is to declare the good news of the grace of God. That's Paul's life verse. Paul says, you know what? Whatever happens, I want to complete my mission, and I want to finish the work. In other words, I'm not a quitter. Paul says, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going on. I'm going to keep straining. I'm going to keep going until I've experienced everything that God has for me in this life. I'm going to give it everything I've got. I'm going to pursue Jesus with everything I've got. I want to finish with the purpose for which God made me, because he created me for a purpose. And you know what? God created you for a purpose. God created me for a purpose. He says, I'm going to finish what I started. In fact, let me read to you Paul's dying words, last words that Paul would ever say out of the last book that Paul would ever write. Here's what Paul said. He's writing to Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, Jesus, will award to me on that day. Is that an amazing testimony? I mean, isn't that amazing? See, as your pastor, that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me. That's what I want us to be able to say about our lives when we get to the end of our lives and we die. I want us to be able to say, you know what? I finished the race. I fought the fight. You know, I kept the faith. And as a result, there's a crown laid up for me in heaven. I want you to be able to say that you were able to do all those things. So real quickly, let me just tell you, because Paul summarizes for us three things real quickly to help you to be consistent when you feel discouraged. And you may feel discouraged this morning. So here's three things. Look what he says in verse 15. This is powerful. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And in other words, Paul is saying, you know what? If you're a mature Christian, if you're a mature believer, follower of me, he said, then this is how you're going to live. You're going to face your faults. You're going to forget the former. You're going to focus on the future, and you're going to fight to the finish. He said, that's what all of those who are mature followers of Jesus, that's what they do. In other words, he's saying, don't become complacent. Don't fall into that trap. Don't get to the place where, oh, you know, I'm just satisfied. That's fine. I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to pursue anymore. I don't need to put any more into it. He's saying, don't do that. And then Paul says, be teachable. Look what he says in the rest of verse 15. He says, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. He says, look, just stay open. Just stay open. God will teach you. Let me just tell you something. The moment you stop being teachable, you stop learning. And the moment you stop learning, you stop growing. And the moment you stop growing, it's over. It's done. So he says, be teachable. And then he says, number three, be persistent. And then listen to what he says. He says, let us live up to what we've already attained. He says, be persistent. Be persistent. Now, some of you might be here this morning and you think, oh man, Pastor, that, you know, face my faults, forget the former, focus on the future. You know, I'm not really sure it's worth the effort. If you feel that way, let me just give you a promise this morning. This is out of Galatians. Paul says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Paul says, don't give up no matter what. You want to give up on your marriage? Don't give up on it. You want to give up on your dreams? Don't give up on it. He says, don't do it, because he says you will reap a harvest at the proper time if you don't give up. Others of you might say, well, Dave, I don't really have the energy. I don't have the strength to keep on keeping on. Well, here, this promise is for you out of Philippians chapter 1. Weeks and weeks ago, we looked at this. Being confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, what God has started in you, what God has started in me, he's going to finish. God never takes you out on a limb and then cuts the limb off. He doesn't do that. If you'll do your part, God will do his part. If you'll do your best, God will do the rest. Because here's something that I'm totally, completely convinced of. Fully believe. That God takes full responsibility for the life that is fully devoted to him. God takes full responsibility for the life that is fully devoted to him. So let me ask you this morning, and then we'll close with this. Let me ask you this morning, which of these areas do you need to focus on? Is it evaluation? When was the last time, and you just need to be honest with yourself, not anybody else, just yourself. When was the last time you sat down and did a frank, personal evaluation of your life? Where you evaluate your marriage, you evaluate your career, you evaluate your finances, you evaluate your relationships, you evaluate your relationship to your children, you evaluate your relationship to God. You know, am I pleasing to God? When's the last time you did that? You're like, well, I don't want to do that, Pastor, because I'm afraid that if I do that, I might uncover something that I don't like. Well, can I just be honest with you? You will. You will discover something that you don't like, because every single one of us in this room, we all have things that we don't like about ourselves. But you can't grow as long as you keep it locked away and hidden away. Let the fear come out in the open. You know, let the regret come out in the open. Let the worry, you know, come out in the open. One of the healthiest things you can do is to do a frank evaluation of your life and just be honest. Look here. Well, what about this area? Are you continuing to allow the past to control your present? Are you allowing a past memory to continue to hurt you? Today? Now? Past can't hurt you unless you let it. You can learn from it, but then let it go. How about this one? Are you so involved in so many things that you can't really get anything accomplished? Maybe you need to cut some things out of your life so you can have time for the things that are really important. So you can have time to really focus in on the things that count, so that you can say like Paul, you know what? This one thing I do. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're like, fight to the finish. And you're here and you're like, you might be tempted to give up. In fact, you may be here ready to throw in the towel. Which of these areas do you need to focus in on? And more importantly, most importantly of all, is your relationship to Jesus. Because see, here's what I want to tell you. You need a power outside of yourself to let go of the past. You need a power outside of yourself to focus in on the future. And you need a purpose outside of yourself to have the power to keep going, to keep on keeping on, to do those things that you know to be the right things to do. And it comes in a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never opened up your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. I can't think of a better time for you to do that than right now. So let's pray together. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray with you. And then we'll be dismissed. And Cindy, you can come on up if you would, please. As your heads are bowed, I just simply want to invite you to follow me in this prayer around what we've just talked about this morning. Remember, Paul said in the very first verse, he said, join with others in following my example. And take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. Paul says, I want you to follow my example. So as you're sitting there this morning with your head bowed, would you be willing to say, Heavenly Father, please help me to face my faults. Help me to be honest about the things in my life that are not right. Help me to not be afraid of the areas where I'm imperfect. I'm afraid to admit them to my wife or my husband. I'm afraid to admit them to you. I'm afraid to even admit them to myself. But I want to grow and I want to get them out into the light and I want to open it up. The Bible says you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up and God will show you mercy. And then would you say, Jesus, will you help me to forget the former? Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget what is behind. Would you be willing to say, Heavenly Father, I don't want anything behind me to rob me of my pursuit of Jesus. Help me to forget my failures. Help me to forget the grudges that I've held on to, my mistakes, my successes. Help me to learn from the past but not dwell on it. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to let go of something that happened in a former relationship, former marriage, former church, former business. Just say to God, God, I want to forget the former. Help me to focus on the future. Help me to get the goals in life that you want. I don't want to miss out on anything, God, that you would have for me in life. And then, Father, would you just help me to know where I need to cut some things that I've been dabbling in so that I can concentrate on the things that are important. If you're here and you've been tempted to give up, just say, Jesus, give me the strength to keep on keeping on, to believe your promise that you will help me and that I'm going to reap a harvest in the right time if I don't give up. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us. And Father, if there are those here today that don't know you personally, I just pray right now that they would open up their hearts to you and just say, Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart and into my life. And I pray, God, that they would begin to experience new meaning and new purpose and a new relationship to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.